I'd like you to find your place in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then flip over and put another finger in Philippians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 1. While you're finding your place, I want to say it's been a great journey for me personally to study the topic of leadership. I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of studying, a lot of preparing, and I've put this together in a way that I believe the Lord is pleased with. We're going to be here for quite a while. I'm not talking about this evening, I'm talking about services. God willing, I'm planning on taking Sunday night and Wednesday night until I get through this. Because I want to take this month. It may take the rest of the month to get through it. It may even take longer than that on Sunday night and Wednesday night. About what God has laid on my heart for this topic of biblical leadership. As you know, we're building a leadership team at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. If you do anything in front of people, if you do anything to serve the Lord here, I look at you as a leader, that you're trying to do something for God. And because of that, we can all learn something here. These principles I'm going to be giving you throughout these next several services not only apply to a local church, that's the way I'm preaching it, to the local church, but it can apply to homes, to families, to job situations, you name it. And I'm pulling our text from these two areas, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 1. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I begin a lesson tonight entitled Local Church Leadership. Local Church Leadership. Now, I've not arrived as a leader. I'm not preaching to you what I'm the classic example in. No, I'm just sharing with you these thoughts that God's challenged me with in my study as I studied this vital, vital topic. And may the Lord add His blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight, and may the will of God be done. Would you take these thoughts that we'll be sharing over the next several services on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and would you speak to our hearts, challenge us from the Word of God, and make us the leaders that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Geese wing their way to a warmer climate, often covering thousands of miles before reaching their final destination. A study of their flight pattern, the V formation, reveals some interesting thoughts. First of all, by flying as they do in the V formation, the members of the flock create an upward air current for one another. Each flap of the wings literally creates an uplift for the bird immediately following it. And one author states that by flying in a V formation, the whole flock gets 71% greater flying range than if each one of them flew on its own. Think about that. When one goose gets sick or wounded, two fall out of formation with it and follow it down to help it and to protect it. And they stay with the struggler until it's able to fly again. That's a great thought. The geese in the rear of the formation, get this now, are the ones who do the honking. You ever seen a V formation and you're listening and you hear something and you hear when I'm honking? It's the one in the back. Listen to this. I suppose it's their way of announcing that they're following and all is well from back here. For sure, the repeated honks encourage those in front. You're doing good. Just stay with it. It's good to be a honker in church. Amen. I mean that. Now, some of you are not going to hear anything else I say tonight, are you? He told me to be a honker in church, you know. God has made some folks to be honkers. And I'll be honest with you, God uses the honkers here in this local church. God desires this kind of teamwork. One mind, one faith, one unity. He desires this kind of teamwork that's even spread in nature like geese to be the kind of cooperation that is found in this local church. It's important that we understand that most organizations, now listen, I'm going to be giving you a lot of statements. I've done a lot of reading. But it's important that we understand that most organizations, when they're destroyed, were not destroyed from the outside. They were destroyed from the inside. In a local church, God calls a pastor. And through that man, the Lord wants to lead the church to fulfill His will. At the same time, in our organization, talking about the local church, God has ordained the office of a deacon, not to lead, but to serve and help. On top of this, there are those who are brought on as staff, while others are given specific duties, like a volunteer workforce, so to speak, to help reach a lost world for Christ. These duties include, but are not limited to, like Sunday school workers, bus workers, ushers, choir members, patrol duty, cancer ministry, Spanish ministry. I'm talking, you name it. All of these people help make up what's called the leadership team of this local church. One man said, and I quote, "The strength of any organization is a direct result of the strength of its leaders." It's been said of John Wooden, he was the former UCL basketball coach. It's been said of him that he never scouted opposing teams, but that he focused on getting his players to reach their own potential. It's been said that success of any organization will not reach beyond the character of its leaders. One man who I'll quote often throughout this leadership, and I encourage you to read after him, is a man by the name of John Maxwell. 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Other books, so to speak. I'll give you other books at the end of this, which will be a long time from now. But he said, and I quote, "If you want to grow an organization, grow the leader." That's a great statement. He also said, "Being put in charge is not the same as being a leader." And I say amen to that statement. When we consider this picture, it's so important that we all realize there is not one person more important than another. See, none of us is smart as all of us. Did you hear that? None of us is smart as all of us. All are extremely important to the cause of Christ. Leaders always think in terms of relying on a team, not relying on themselves. However, we must come together in unity. Under the leadership of the pastor, following the leadership of the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody does anything great alone. Think about that statement. Someone said, "You can do what I cannot do. I can do what you cannot do. Together we can do great things." Three components of victory in a local church, a family, whatever, but I'm applying this to this local church. Three components of victory. Unity of vision. We must be going the same direction. Diversity of skills. God gives people different skills to do different things that He wants done. And a leader who's dedicated to victory and raising players to their potential. In order to help with this burden, I want us to consider an acrostic. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm going to be spelling out over the next several services the word leadership. Now I'm going to give you something for every letter that God has placed on my heart, that is what local church leadership is all about. That's what leadership's about. That's what leadership's about. Now let's get started. I may only get through the first one. That's fine if I do. I'm just going to take my time. Number one, the L. I guess I don't need to say number one. I'll just say the L, okay? The L in leadership. And the Lord started me here. There's a reason He started with this. What is leadership all about? Yes, we need to be together. Yes, we need to have the same vision. We need to be going forward. We have diversity of skills. Nobody thinking they're better than somebody else. We're just striving together for the faith of the gospel. But what is Bible leadership all about? What can every leader be challenged to do? What is it? The L. Leadership is about loving the Lord supremely. Now I want you to flip with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. I also want you to find Revelation chapter 2. We're going to be flipping some tonight. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and then Revelation chapter number 2. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5 says this. Deuteronomy 6, 5. Let me skip back to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not failed. May I say this to you? He's talking to this church here at Ephesus. And if you go by what he just said, they're a pretty good church. They are a pretty good church, friends. But he says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Notice it didn't say thou hast lost thy first love. No, he said you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art falling, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You know what biblical leadership's about? It's about that God has no rivals in your life. He's not one of, he's the one and only. That's biblical leadership. You cannot properly lead others without properly loving Christ. It's impossible. So let us ask ourselves, do I love my master or my ministry more? Do I love my Savior or my spouse more? Do I love Christ or my children more? A leader loves the Lord more than anything on planet Earth. A leader loves the Lord more than anybody on planet Earth. See, a leader is interested more in pleasing the Lord, loving the Lord, and therefore wants to please the Lord instead of pleasing those he leads. Leaders should serve the Lord for his glory and serve the Lord for his approval, not man's approval. This is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Because it's such a long, it's so many verses, I'm not reading that. If you're keeping notes, Matthew 6, 1 through 18 teaches this principle, that we're not to be in it to please man, but we're to be in it to please God. By the way, if you love God the way you're supposed to, and I love God the way I'm supposed to, I have no problem with that. See, may I say this to you? A leader's service should not flow out of duty. It should flow out of love. It flows out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. A leader should be more interested in having the presence of God than the presence of people. Did you hear what I just said? Friends, listen to me. We want everybody in Tri-Cities to come to this church. It wouldn't be good for them all to come here, I know. But I desire for this church to be filled, to have to break this sanctuary down and build a bigger one. Oh, you dream like that? Yes, I dream like that, yes. I'd love to see that happen. But let me say this to you. If we love the Lord the way that we're supposed to love the Lord as biblical leaders, we will never drop our standards to get them here. We will never please man to build a crowd. We will love God supremely and serve him because we love him and be more interested that he is here than they are here. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We want the world to be saved. We want them to come into this alert. I'm talking about into this church. But friends, if we get the whole world in this church and God doesn't show up, we've missed it. We've missed it. You know what biblical leadership's about? The Lord. It's about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. I like what one preacher said. He said, when we recognize the seriousness of our message and the directness of our responsibility, preferences and comfort zones fade in significance. This labor's not about us. It's about Christ. Those who serve in the local church are often called upon to do tasks they don't particularly like to do. I'm quoting here, do ushers enjoy cleaning up vomit in the hallway? Do nursery workers enjoy changing messy diapers? Do cleaning crews enjoy mopping muddy floors? Probably not for the task, for the sake of the task itself. But all of these areas contribute to people hearing the gospel in the church. Mature Christians push past their comfort zones for a message that's greater than personal comfort. Can I paraphrase what that preacher's saying? Even though it's an unpleasant task to clean up vomit or change messy diapers, God bless those nursery workers who'll stay with babies who scream and cry and change their diapers so that the mom and daddy can come and hear the message uninterrupted. And even though it's an unpleasant task, if their heart's right with God and they love Jesus Christ, they look beyond the messy diaper and say, thank you, Lord, I can do something for you here. This is biblical leadership. It's loving the Lord supremely. Nothing compares to Him. And nothing is beyond me to do for Him if it pleases Him to get the gospel to somebody else. That same preacher said to have the heart to serve faithfully. Our service must be motivated by our relationship to Jesus Christ. If we serve for the appreciation or praise of people, we will lose heart and eventually quit. But if we serve because we're motivated by Jesus' love for us and by our love for Him, we can continue right on through varied seasons of life and ministry. You show me somebody who quits on God, I'll show you somebody who has left their first love. You show me somebody who becomes too good to do that, and I'll show you somebody who has lost their love for Jesus Christ. I'm simply trying to challenge this church to rise to the occasion. You know what God has laid on the heart of your pastor? Jody, you want to go forward? I do too. You say you're going to obey me? I'm going to test you. You want to progress? So do I. I'm constantly advancing. But in order for this church to go to the next level, the leaders must take this next step. The leaders must become what they're supposed to be before this church can reach its potential. And biblical leaders love the Lord supremely. Concerning J. Oswald Sanders, it said, and I quote, his supreme love for Christ, coupled with the obligation to share Christ's message, were his powerful lifetime motives. The point in all of this, the L, loving the Lord supremely, that's what biblical leadership's about. The part in all of this is what I've already said. Jesus Christ is not to be one of. He's to be the one and only in our lives. When we love Him supremely, we'll desire for Him and Him alone to be glorified, for Him and Him alone to be praised, for Him and Him alone to be seen. Dr. Clarence Sexton said, and I quote, may the Lord deliver us from our desires for success and deliver us to a burning desire for His glory. That's a powerful statement. One preacher said, spiritual leadership always directs attention to the Lord. Another man said, no true-hearted man of God wants to settle for anything less than the smile of God upon his ministry. You know what this ministry is about? It's about the Lord. It's about His smile upon it. That He is pleased, that He is praised, that He is glorified. By the way, this is a good principle for all of life. This is a good principle for our marriages, for our individual lives. We're to love the Lord supremely. Woodrow Wilson said, absolute identity with one's cause is the first and great condition of successful leadership. The first and great condition of successful leadership is absolute identity with one's cause. What is the cause of Buffalo Ridge? You say it's world evangelization. Wrong. Wrong. What's the cause of this church? It's to create a welcoming atmosphere for people to visit. Wrong. Wrong. What is the cause of Buffalo Ridge? It's to have a great music program. Wrong. What's the cause? The cause is the glory of God. The cause is God Himself. And the reason you have a great music program, the reason we try to win the world to Christ, the reason that we try to invite people to come and make it to where they feel welcome, it's not to do that or that or that. That's because what pleases Him, and we love Him supremely, and we're going to glorify Him, and He wants us to win the world. He wants us to have right music. He wants us to invite people. That's the cause of Buffalo Ridge. And may I say to you that there are so many churches that make a byproduct their goal. Our goal is to win the world for Christ. It's not mine. That's not my goal. It's a result of my goal. My goal is to be God. My goal is to be the glory of God, because I'm to love God more than anything or anybody else on planet Earth, including my wife, including my children. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how I can love anybody more than I love my wife. I'm serious. And listen, what's not to love here from her? You know what I mean? By the way, don't send me any emails and say, well, that's it, and that, you know what I'm saying, all these kind of things. You know, I think more than likely you would probably say, I love God more than anything else. Do you mean it? Does your life prove it? Biblical leadership's about loving the Lord supremely. You got that? Amen? If not, I'm going to go back and preach it all over again. Did you get it? Amen? I thought I'd get an amen out of you there. Let's get started with the E. I wasn't sure I'd get started with it, but I want to get started with it. What is the E about? Biblical leadership is about loving the Lord supremely. We need to start there. Secondly, the E, biblical leadership is about exemplifying the Christian life. It's about exemplifying, setting an example of who a Christian really is. Look at 1 Timothy, if you'll turn with me there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm turning with you here. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. This is Paul speaking to young Timothy. And he makes a statement here. He says in 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. Notice that what he says. He says, be thou an example. That's what leadership's about. It's about being an example. It's about exemplifying the Christian life. One man said, it's not the position that makes the leader. It's the leader that makes the position. Ken Hay from the Wilds, he said this, earn the right to be heard. Now let that sink in just a moment. Earn the right to be heard. What's he saying? Don't be a hypocrite. If you get up and teach, you get up and preach, earn the right to be heard. Live what you preach. Be a person of character. Leadership is influence. That's what it is. You have influence. You're leading somebody. Could be your children. Could be your grandchildren. Could be a Sunday school class. Could be your group. Could be a bus. Could be whatever. You're leading. And it's influence. Now if I can get to it, there's a lot under this point here. Matter of fact, we'll probably be here for several services. I'm just building on this before we get to the meat here. Somebody said, see what a person is doing every day, day after day, and you'll know who that person is and what he or she is becoming. The difference between a boss and a leader. A boss says, go. A leader says, let's go. You see the difference? A boss says, do it. A leader says, come do it with me. Let's do this together. They set the example. Somebody said, nothing's more confusing than people who give good advice but set a bad example. Leaders must always be a few steps ahead of their people or they're not really leading. To be leading means you're out front. How can you lead from behind? That's not leading, that's driving people. You know, there's a lot of driving bosses. There's a lot of driving pastors. I don't want to be a driving pastor. Go, go, I don't want to do that. A biblical leader's out in front saying, come on, let's do this together. That's biblical leadership. He sets the example. He exemplifies the Christian life. One person said, a great leader never sets himself above his followers except in carrying responsibilities. That's a powerful statement. Matter of fact, that's worthy enough to repeat. A great leader never sets himself above his followers except in carrying responsibilities. One man said, and I quote, leadership begins with who you are, not what you do. It begins with who you are, not what you do. Leaders are those who demonstrate how a Christian lives. To give you what was pumped into us in Bible college, leaders take the high road. And taking the high road, as Pastor Sexton says, is not choosing the good over the bad. Anybody can do that. But taking the high road is choosing the best over the good and always choosing the best. Do you understand there are things that are not wrong? But a Bible leader will never do that because there's a better way to do it. Don't just be a leader who just gets by with the minimum. Biblical leaders lead out in front. They exemplify the Christian life. My standards of excellence should be higher for myself than those I set for others. More than anything else, employees want leaders whose beliefs and actions line up. You ever been around somebody who was a hypocrite? Have you? Would you raise your hand if you have? Yes? Most of us have. They say one thing and they live another way. You ought to do that and they do it themselves. You shouldn't do that and they do it. You should do that and they don't do it. Biblical leaders are not that way. Bible leaders not only say it, they show it. They not only say what you ought to do, they show you how to do it. They're out in front. Rudy Giuliani said this, nothing builds a stronger case for holding employees to higher standards than a boss who holds himself to higher ones. Concerning Alexander the Great, many of you have read about him back in history. It's said about him, and I quote, he always led from the front, never demanding of his troops anything that he wasn't willing to do himself. Now, I'm building a case here, and then I'm going to give you some things here, and then we'll be done. I may just get you to the point where I'm going to give you the Word of God and all this, but just stay with me. As I said before, leaders not only tell, they show. A good Bible example of this point that he exemplifies the Christian life is a man by the name of Nehemiah. We've studied the book of Nehemiah together. Remember, he went and saw the broken down walls and he got burdened for it. And he gathered the people and said, let's build the wall, let's build the wall, let's build the wall. But he not only told them what they needed to do, he labored among them. Because in Nehemiah 5:16 it says, yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. You know what kind of a leader Nehemiah was? He wasn't a leader who said, pick up a hammer. He said, that's a great work to be done. God wants it to be done. God wants you to build this wall. And he says, he didn't say, go get it done, go get it done, and get a whip out and say, why aren't you doing it? No. He was a leader who said, let's do this together. And he reached down and grabbed a hammer himself. And he got up on the wall himself, and he was building the wall himself, and he was building with the people with him. It is ungodly for a pastor to get up and say, you should do this, and he does not set the example in that. Amen. I'm preaching to myself right there. They exemplify the Christian life. J. Oswald Sanders said, we can lead only as far along the road as we ourselves have traveled.
Merely pointing the way is not enough. If we are not walking, then no one can be following, and we are not leading anyone. He also said, resist the idea of leadership from the rear. True leadership is always out front, never from the rear, and never from the sidelines. Now here's a statement. If you don't get anything else tonight, you need to listen to this statement. Charles Spurgeon made it. Talking about exemplifying the Christian life, exemplifying the Christian life. Leaders love the Lord supremely. They exemplify the Christian life. They don't just say it, they do it. They show the way. They're out front. They hold themselves to higher standards. They take the high road. They are setting the example for those who are following. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said. A man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When we take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as dollars and his words as pennies. Now, friends, you may be half asleep tonight. That is a powerful statement. He said what they do for people is what they do. They say that's a dollar bill. That's a dollar. That's a dollar. That's a dollar. What they say, that's just pennies. Because a leader who talks it and does not walk it is a cheap leader. And Bible leaders exemplify the Christian life. And let me get started with this. There's two major areas that I've put in. Now, you understand this acrostic is not exhaustive. Everybody understand that, right? There's no way I can give you everything about biblical leadership. But if you'll take this, you're going to learn some things. You're going to be challenged in some areas. So this is not exhaustive, but this is just how the Lord led me. In two major areas, a Bible leader will set the example. Number one, in his actions. Number two, in his attributes. Now, I'm just going to get started with actions. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me show you something here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And look at verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17. The word of God says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. When I say here that a biblical leader sets the example, exemplifies the Christian life, he's out in front. Number one, in his actions. It means in those things he does. In those things that he does. His attributes is who he is. Who he is. His character. But his actions are the things he does. Now, there's two things I want to talk to you about here. Number one, in his actions, he will exemplify the Christian life in his language. His language. In this verse that I just had you turn to, I'm not going to have you turn to it again, but in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, be thou an example of the believers in word. In word. In word. In other words, the way that a leader speaks should exemplify the Christian life. Now, there's an acrostic to keep in mind while you're getting ready to say something. You know what's good? Excuse me. Many times, you know what's good? To shut our mouth. Leaders know when to keep it in. Carnal people just spew it out. Let me give you an acrostic here. I'm just in the habit of doing acrostics in this thing. Write down think. T-H-I-N-K. Think before you speak. You with me? Is it true? There's the T. Is it helpful? There's the H. Is it inspiring? There's the I. Is it necessary? There's the N. Is it kind? There's the K. Do you understand that if we stopped to think before we speak, is this true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? It may shut half our words out of our mouth. Amen or not, to borrow a phrase from Jimmy Rose. Did you pick it up from him? Amen or not, brethren? Amen or not, you know. biblical leaders exemplify the Christian life in their actions. And under that, that includes their language, how they speak. These are large umbrellas, because if I start going down and digging down real deep, we may never get through this. Number two, under actions, not only in their language, but in their lifestyle. Their lifestyle. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 again says, "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation." Conversation, that means lifestyle. When you put all this together, leaders set the example not only in how they speak, but in how they live. Bible leaders have things that they do for the glory of God and things they will not do for the glory of God. If you have no do's and don'ts, you're not a leader. If there's something in your life, I'm just going to live my own way, do my own thing, you're not a leader. Bible leaders, get this, never think in terms of their rights. That's my right to do that. Bible leaders don't think in terms of their rights. They think in terms of their responsibilities. And there are some things, again, that's not wrong. But you're just not going to do that because you realize it can affect your leadership a little bit and you want to be the best example that you can be. And a Bible leader has no problem being a little bit uncomfortable and maybe doing some things because it may make him, you know, a little uncomfortable maybe, but he's doing it because he knows God is pleased with it. I'm not talking about he's miserable, but he doesn't mind to be uncomfortable, to hold himself to the highest standard he possibly can. Are you with me tonight? Biblical leadership. What is it? It's about loving the Lord supremely. He's the goal. We love him more than anything or anybody else, and we're going to do it for him, not for me, not for the pastor, not for my wife, not for my children, not for the church, not for those bus kids, not for those bus parents, not for that Sunday school class, not for the staff. No, that's not it. Biblical leaders don't do it for anybody on planet Earth. They do it for God. They love the Lord supremely. Biblical leadership is also about exemplifying the Christian life. They're out in front. They're setting the example of who a Christian is, what a Christian does, and they do it in their actions and in their attributes. Their actions and how they speak, they will speak like a Christian. And how they live, their lifestyle, there's things they do and don't do. There's places they'll go and will not go. There's things they watch and will not watch. There's things they'll listen to and will not listen to. Their lifestyle, there's ways they dress and ways they won't dress. Why? Because they do not want to tarnish their leadership for God. They want to be the very best leader they possibly can be. And they don't mind setting an example. By the way, it's an uncomfortable thing to be out front and everybody looking at you. That's not comfortable. But it's a responsibility. And may when they look in front of them and see you leading them, may they see somebody that's setting the example of a leader who pleases God. Now we're only getting started. I am so excited about this little series I'm doing. Because if the leaders will grab a hold of what I'm teaching, there's no telling what God will do with this church. No telling. We're only getting started. Be back Wednesday night as we pick up right there. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. And I pray you'll help us to be faithful to you, help us to trust you, help us to believe you, and help us to be all about you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, our folks are getting prepared for the invitation. I never want to let a service come and go without giving you the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. I don't know your heart, so therefore I don't want to take anything for granted. If you're here tonight and you say, Jody, I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. In just a moment, we're going to invite you to this altar. We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and we'll show you how you can become a child of God. Tonight, we're talking, just starting on this acrostic on leadership. What is it? What are Bible leaders? Biblical leadership is about loving the Lord supremely. He has no rivals in our life. He is the one and only. Biblical leadership is about exemplifying the Christian life in our actions, the way we speak and how we live, in our attributes, and there's many of them that I'm going to share with you. This is as far as we've gotten. I want to ask you this question. How many of you all in this local church, you consider yourself a leader? Let me explain what I mean. Sunday school workers, bus workers, you sing in the choir, you do anything in front of people, you serve in any capacity, in any kind of ministry in this local church. That's you. Would you raise your hand? You serve in any, greeters, ushers, patrol. Look at that. That's a majority of you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. If you did not raise your hand, there's something in this church that God wants you to help do. If you call this church your church home, be patient with God. Let Him show you what it is. But if you raised your hand just a moment ago, you somehow, some way are in front of people or serving in some ministry, and therefore you need to be a leader. Now that doesn't mean you're not following. There's a leader you're following. See, good leaders are also good followers. Amen. Getting ahead of myself. But good leaders are good followers as well. They're good subordinates. But tonight, I'm talking to you. What kind of a leader are you? I want to challenge you to be faithful Sunday night, Wednesday night, to hear the entirety of this series and ask God to make you the leader He wants you to be. I want God to convict me where I need to be convicted. I want to be the leader God wants me to be. I do. I do. And if God will show me where I need to improve, I want to do that. I'm going to have them just to begin to play through softly. Not going to have any singing tonight. But if you're a leader and you want to come and just pray and say, God, speak to me through this series. Make me the leader you want me to be. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Help the leaders, help me and the leaders of this church to be the leaders that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name. Some have already responded. Would you get out of your seat and come? God, make me the leader you want me to be. Help me to be here to hear this. We're recording this. We'll make it available to you so you can have it all. You can re-listen to it. Lord, make me the leader that you want me to be. Make me the leader in my home. Make me the leader in this local church. Make me the leader in life that you desire me to be. This is it. God has burdened the heart of your pastor in the matter of leadership. I can't get away from it. I'm going to use the word consuming my life. It's really on me right now. The importance of leaders. Helping the church go to the next level. The way I help the church go to the next level is I go to the next level. And I'm out in front leading. What kind of a leader are you? God, make us the leaders that you desire us to be. May we set the example. May we love you supremely. No doubt about it. Amen. Ask Brother Gary to come to the pulpit and dismiss us in prayer tonight, please.
Lord, as we examine our hearts tonight, we we fall so short of loving you as we should. And Lord, I find myself loving many other things, loving self, loving pleasure, loving possessions. And Lord, oh God, help us, I pray. Give us a love for you. Your word says that the Spirit of God will shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. And Lord, how we need to love you supremely. And Lord, work in our hearts. Draw us to yourself. Give us a supernatural love for thee, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.